Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, hopefully it's Dr. Jack, Santa Mile. He just met one of the board. Okay, Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. We're going to try it again, Kevin. We're up this morning. S&P futures up 27. Dow futures up 194. NASDAQ futures up 84. Yesterday, I think we were, at one point, we were up at least about here. We finished in one, and then we were down 400 before we rallied a little bit on the close. But we definitely had a rollover yesterday. I hope we don't do that again. We don't need another rollover, man. No, man. Anyway, how are you?
Okay. Hey, you got to make Rollover Beethoven. You're one of the bumpers today.
I like that song.
Yeah, that's a good song, yeah. Who did that was Mountain did it. Who else did it? You're the expert in this stuff.
Oh, lots of people have done it, but yeah. Wasn't that a Chuck Berry originally?
I think it was. I think I like the Mountain version the best. That would just be me.
Well, while we talk, I'll check it here.
It was Chuck Berry,
all you have
Kevin.
To do is go to Secondhand Songs.
I pulled it up. Chuck Berry did the original.
I don't think you ever want to question any of the gang, Dr. Blade, Kevin, and Kevin's older brother, Tim. I mean, those guys, they put out the songs every day. And every song they put out, there's a link to the Twitter for every person who, like, ever did it.
So well, no, because I'm usually the one that puts the covers on there. I don't do the every person that ever did it. Some of them you'd have, you know, 100 versions of it. So I try to pick out the good and the interesting. So,
well, it's
what was it? Harry Chapin's Taxi. I got last night I sent out Mandy Patinkin, the actor.
Well, we might have
it wasn't bad, but the thing is about all of these actors, especially the ones that are very stage focused, which. You know, people know Mandy Patinkin from some movies and some television shows, but he's primarily a stage actor, and they have all had voice lessons, and they've and they've been in musicals, so you have to be at least be able to carry a tune, you have to be able to project, breathe properly, all of those kinds of things to do a decent job on the stage when it's a musical. So they all learn to do it. You know who actually, she's released albums is B.B. Newirth, otherwise known as Lilith Crane on the Frasier show and on Cheers.
Really?
Turns out she can actually sing a little bit.
Wow. I don't think I could sing. I didn't even make the choir in the fourth grade. I'm still permanently scarred from that.
I won't even... do much more than mouth the anthem for fear of offending everybody around me in a baseball game or something.
Yeah, it's I'm still Matty, can you still be scarred from that? It was a long time ago.
I think you can be scarred for life.
Yeah, I think I have been. I mean, we don't even no shower, no singing. We don't do anything like that. It's not but the guys are telling me, not you. Out of about 40 kids who went out in fourth grade, I was the only one that said, that's bad. But anywho, I was surprised as you guys have been sending that stuff around. I mean, for a while that I've dug into a lot of the lyrics, and I'm really pretty stunned seeing as it was a time when half these people were singing when they didn't even know they were singing. The lyrics are incredibly complicated in some of these songs. I mean, it's not just the same thing over and over again. Some songs. I mean, but even the one, the Arlo Guthrie, City of New Orleans. I mean, that thing's like memorizing your part in a play, for God's sake. And some of the stuff from the Moody Blues and some of those other guys. I mean, the lyrics are pretty serious, and they're not just over the same thing.
Well, and it's fun if you go back and you start finding, you know, some of the times when somebody just happens to say, you know, I'm here. Let's do something at your show tonight. So you walk on stage for a couple. Well, they just pick out a song and go. Can you imagine how many songs you need to be able to just, you know, start singing at a moment's notice, as well as play the music for it, and so on. Hey, you know who else did Roll Over Beethoven here? The Beatles did it.
Really?
Now that I see it on the list, I remember that they did.
Well, there was a guy back in the 80s who was very, very popular for a lot of people from the trading floor. Whenever there was a big party or something, they would hire this guy. Remember a guy by the name of Ronnie Rice?
I don't.
I'm going to say, if somebody could Google him, I'm going to say he was an original member of the New Colony Six.
Okay.
Which,
for those who don't know, there were a number of bands that had you know, high ranking. They did really well on the charts, and this was just like half a dozen Chicago area bands. The New Colony Six was one of them.
Right, and actually, the guys who ended up becoming, was it Styx? Weren't they the TW4 or somebody? One of those guys was a.
And you're right, Chief. Ronnie Rice was in New Colony Six.
But his shtick was, he would come to, you know, a party and there'd be a couple hundred traders there, or a hundred traders. You couldn't name a song that this guy couldn't play in the lyrics. I mean, he knew because the New Colony Six would play a lot of other people's stuff, I guess. Instead of, you know, they weren't like the Beatles where they had 50 of their own songs. So the dude had an absolutely encyclopedic memory of virtually every song of the era. And all of a sudden, I can tell you that one. Start right up, like you're saying. I mean, it's like me remembering trades, I guess, huh? I mean, I can't remember anything else, but, I guess people zero in on the stuff they remember, you know? I mean, what a talent. What a nice guy. So, I mean, he was really good. Just come with his classic guitar and off he'd go. And, didn't need much equipment. Maybe he needed a microphone if he had a big enough room, but that was about it. Anyway, Kevin, we have all kinds of things happening. Except the market is pretty volatile. I mean, we've been down, obviously, pretty heavy, and then we turned around, and we're Friday. We turned around on Wednesday pretty good, and yesterday was going to be the second day up, and everybody was, you know, cackling away about how we're going to have 2 days up, and the market's already had its correction, and it's turning around. You listen to these guys, and it's like, enough to whatever. And all of a sudden, we turn like there's no tomorrow, and then we're not just turn, but we're digging a hole. And then we came back a little bit on the close on this morning. We're making another run to the upside, but it's not real easy trading right here. And your volatility is high, so if you're trying to buy any protection, you're paying up for it. I mean, even some of these stocks. One of the guys that I kind of give advice to in one of the places that I do sub work, and he says one of my guys wants to get along. I don't know, it was Nvidia or some of those places, he goes, what about if I buy these, we'll buy some calls in October? And I'm going, they're $25. Your guy better be right. I mean, talk about pay to play, Kevin. We're talking about 10% of the price of the stock in 8 weeks. That's a real number for an at the money call. I mean, right now you're in the pay to play area, and it's very difficult to be short some stuff. I've had some winners and some losers lately. The winners have been areas where I wanted to be in, and I bought some stuff out as far as December, and I've been selling the near-term stuff against it. And every week it's kind of a struggle. It's down, it's up, can we get something for them? And all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the week, it's in the right spot, and we sell something, and after 3-4 weeks, we're smelling like a rose on some of this stuff. But there hasn't been an easy week yet to where we just another few days, we'll sell them tomorrow. It's been, can we get anything for them? Can we not get something for them? I mean, even if you have a conservative position here where you're not strung out, where you got to go chase something, you're still trying to get the right price on some of this stuff, and it's not easy to do. And I can't imagine. I mean, we have some people that trade through us that I don't do their stuff, that are trying to trade the futures, the minis. And these are pretty good people, Kevin, but they're, they go along 10 E-minis, and they get stopped out 2 minutes later, and all of a sudden, you know, they go short them, and they get stopped out 2 minutes later. And one of my guys says, well, why don't we start doing this service? And I said, wait a minute. I mean, the only way I'm doing it is if every time I buy the futures, I'm buying some puts. Or if I sell them, I'm buying some calls. Because there's no way that I'm going to put myself out there to get stopped out 10 minutes later four times a day. Because these guys, I think they must know where the stops are or something. They run around, and it's very, very difficult to catch a winner. Because you get stopped out first. And you guys both know what a stop is, I think. But anyway, I probably should explain it since I'm talking about it. So say you want to
do it.
So say you want to buy the E-minis right now are $33.69. It's okay. If I want to buy 10 or 1 or 2 or whatever it is, but you know, big swinging bleep buying 10. But say you bought 10. I mean, a lot of times people will say, "Well, I'm not just going to be out there alone. I'm going to be I'll buy at $33.69 with a sell stop at $33.60, say." So if I'm wrong and it goes flying down, as soon as it gets to if it trades at 60 or is offered below, that becomes a market order to sell at that point. In other words, I'm out. Now, you're probably not going to get out right at the price that your stop is, or if there's a huge gap, you know, if something bad happens, speaking
right,
of which...
If it's doing the trading places drop, you're going to... You're not going to be able to sell fast enough.
Well, today's a... Well, no, I mean, it becomes a market order at that point. So, in other words, whereas we're in the 19th anniversary of 9/11, if that were to happen... And they open up like 100 points lower. It becomes a market order to sell there, right? So it's really not during the day when things are liquid. I could argue with people all day long about if it's a protective device. It's a protective device 95% of the time, but not 100% of the time because you're not guaranteed the price. Okay, so when people do those kind, but if you have a put behind you, you'll say, okay, now the worst that could happen because I bought this put is I lose $20, which is not a good thing. But at least then you can say, all right, I mean, today I'm wrong, but maybe tomorrow it'll come. You have time on your side. So I would never be doing that right now, but people are.
There's your next bumper, Matty. You can do the Rolling Stones, time is on my side. Yeah. But keep going, Tom.
Well, what I'm saying is all of a sudden you have something behind you. Now, the problem there is if all of a sudden we stop going all over the place on the market, and all of a sudden I'm just sucking on this put, you know, for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden the thing never moves again, and I lose $8 on the put. Okay, well, but that's still better than, you know, you'd still rather lose money on your collision insurance than wreck your car, right?
Yes.
I mean, so there's a lot of ways to do this, but right now I don't see any. I wouldn't advance myself at all for just saying I'm going to, hey, I think I'll go long right here or go short right. I mean, there's a couple of times during the day where you sort of notice a tendency, Kevin, is it? You know, near the close, especially since the market has been this volatile the last week or so, that if all of a sudden it's way down or way up, you sense on the close people trying to cover those positions. Where they'll say, okay, it's Tuesday, or where was it? We're Wednesday, we had a big down day. Okay, we're happy with it. We've made, you know, 200 points or 80 points in our spoos. That's good enough, and we'll buy them in on the close, or the other way around. You'll see some of that. Even the stuff that we see from Dr. J's unusual option activity, you can see times when, because I have the feed on that, you can see times where people just, you know, they want to go long gold. They think the Fed's screwing them, whatever. You'll see like a few thousand of the January calls traded in either the GLD, which is the gold ETF, or the GDX, which is the gold miners. You'll see that trade. Or somebody will want a march. They want a long-term position. You'll see a huge march spread. Like say the GDX is, it's 41.90. Somebody might do the, you know, 44.47 spread in March. And he's just got an idea that somewhere in the next 7 months we're going to have inflation, blah, blah, blah. And he just wants to get in there early and he wants to be positioned that way. But then once in a while, like now, there'll be big trades and they're like this week or next week. To where people are saying, you know, I think gold's going up or Apple's going up or Tesla's going down or whatever, but it's going to be in the next few days. And we're kind of in one of those cycles where the stuff is pretty short term. And I don't know what that means to the world, but it usually comes at a time when there's a lot of volatility, like now. And, you know, to a point where people don't want to think past next week. And we're kind of in one of those.
Has that kind of, short-term phenomenon been, has it been there all along, or is that a function of the more and more automation and
people put these kind of
machine learning or artificial intelligence types of things that are taking place and causing it to happen more.
I'm going to say if somebody buys a 10,000 lot spread in March in the gold, there's some thought behind that. It's not a machine. I mean, that's not something. A machine reacts to what other people do. I mean, a machine is what, if all of a sudden you start buying a whole bunch of gold options here, the machine's going to react and buy the GLD ETF, or they might even go to the CME and buy the actual gold futures. That's what the machine does, is hook all that stuff together. But the machines don't come up with the original idea, right? Machines do what I used to do on the trading floor, although faster. I mean, if you came in and bought, like, where are you guys, 80 calls, 2 1/8. All right, I'll buy 2,000. And like everybody does, 100 a piece or 20 or 200 a piece. Now all of a sudden everybody's looking for a call to buy something in the book, or if you're one of the big swinging bleeps and you sold 500, you're going to head right to the futures. You're going to buy 5 spoos or something. But all that reaction people used to do manually. But now machines do it automatically. But it's the same reaction. It's the same mentality.
But just doing it faster.
You're just doing it faster. And then you'll be able to compare the prices quicker. Am I better off buying the gold futures, an E-mini like gold future or something like that? Or am I better off buying the GLD? Or am I better off buying GOLD and a few other stocks that are part of the GDX, the gold miners? I mean, the computer can do that in a nanosecond where, I'd probably have one place to go. But in the OEX, there were a million different strikes, and the books were loaded with standing orders. So you determined your size on a trade by what you thought you could get around the other side. So if you came in and bought, 400 or something at $1.08, I'm not a 400 lot trader, but if I know I can buy 300 of the strike below at $2, I'm happy to sell you all 400 and just go get those. Because I could determine my size by what else was available. That's why in a electronic world, when you don't know where anything else is, every trade you're like on an island, which makes it very much more difficult to make good markets for people than if all those people were in one spot and you could actually see what the other orders were. So there's a real reason why, that's not the best thing to do, is to have this stuff on an island. I could never make a market off the floor like I could on the floor because I don't know where anything else is. So right now when we have these moves like yesterday when we're up, we were up probably 25 in the spoos and went down like 60 at one point. I mean that's one hell of a move. And you're sitting there going, who's the seller? What are they doing? You are much more in a vacuum. That's why I'm really concerned that I always have my people buttoned up with some kind of protection. There might come a day here where we just start going down and don't stop. Or, somebody could come out with a real vaccine and we could rally for 2 days, or 3 days. I mean, right now, Matt, either direction, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, would you?
Oh, no. But, what did I say earlier in the week? That the market comes to its senses every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the lessons here is that things may be crazy and not and inexplicable at times, but sooner or later, there has to be some rationality built in there, and I do think that happens.
Well, it I was listening, plenty of long time to CNBC yesterday. Of course, they're all gushing over this lady getting a job at Citigroup, and she seems like she's very competent, so I wish her the best of luck. I just can't believe, Kevin, that at this day and age that it makes any difference. It should just be the right person, and if they're black, if they're female, it shouldn't be a news event. I just hope that by the time this was going on when I was 7, right?
Well, I'm 60. That'll tell you when we've made some genuine, some real... The real kind of progress, although it's also possible that by continuing to make it a news event, we perpetuate some of our issues. But either way, there will be a day, sooner or later, when it's not a news event, and someone says, oh, good, I've heard of her. She's, you know, good choice. And that's all you get.
Now, we've had a couple of CEOs that are female. They were absolute horse bleep. And guess what? We've had a bunch of guys that were CEOs. They were horse bleep. So, I mean, let's just get to the point where you pick the best person, and you can fire the person, and we don't care what color they are, I mean, or gender. I mean, I would have thought we'd been there, but we'd be there by now. But obviously, maybe we're not. I don't know. But the thing of it is when it comes to board stuff, I have a particular issue with it, and I don't want the bumps that are there now. That are just other people that are in the industry, and all you do is sit there and the CEO brings you in, and all you do is vote his way and vote him a raise every day. I mean, you're not going to save the world by bringing somebody in who's black or female, does the same thing. I want somebody to change that.
Tell it to the state of California. They're the ones that encoded it into law.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not as if you can't get, if you really want to find a competent black person or woman, you can't find, sure you can. I mean, come on. There's plenty of competent black people. There's plenty of incompetent white people. I mean, we all know this, right? But the point. But I go back to the firms that were like this originally, and they had a black person on there. Well, who was the lady who was the head of NYU? I think it was NYU. She's the chairman of the university. She was on like 8 or 9 or 10 boards because she got the reputation. She's black. She's female. She never votes against the raise. Put her on here. She never shows up. Isn't that great? I mean, the chairman doesn't want you to show up, Kevin, right? They don't want you to read the stuff. I mean,
But they will ask you to vote.
Oh, sure. And the funniest interview was Wally Phillips had been dead for a while. For those that don't, Wally Phillips was the king of Chicago radio for years, and he, I don't know when he died, a long time ago. But they asked his secretary, who must have been a lot younger, because obviously she used to with us. She goes, what was he like? And she goes, all he did, he was preparation, and Maddie will tell you, since he worked for Mike North at the time, what it was like having to prepare for a 6 in the morning show without an internet. And how, Maddie, well, he could tell himself, how he had to run around the city, and everybody knew where the newsstands were to get the paper, the first paper coming out of the Trib or the Sun-Times and the Wall Street Journal. And these guys wanted that in front of them at like 5:45, and they're furiously reading through the darn thing trying to get what the news is. And there was no kicking on your internet before you went to bed and emailing yourself 5 stories you want to start with. I mean, that's easy. Now, whether the stories are as good, that's another story. But I mean, the fact is, you can do something. And she said he was always prepared. And she goes, that's funny because a couple of guys liked him so much they put him on their boards. The guy goes, well, how'd that work out? She goes, that didn't work out at all. I goes, why not? He says, because he did the same thing. Because I was on the CBOE board, they'd mail you this. Well, in those days, they'd mail it to you. They'd mail you this huge packet of crap. You know, we were talking, you know, 15 different tabs on the side and everything, of all the agenda and all the backup and everything. And she goes, he always read every page, and he came in armed with a bunch of really good questions. She goes, they hated him. Because he actually
but did. Here's the question, Tom, is when did they send you the packet of crap? Did you get it a week ahead of time? Did you get it a day ahead of time?
Nah, it was time enough to read it if you wanted to. Especially if you were flying. I mean, you could read it on the plane. I mean, there wasn't any of that where they handed it to you, you know, in the meeting. The best was Alan Dean. He's a funny guy. You don't find too many funny controllers. He would actually.
that almost sounds like a comedy, a stand-up act. Keep going.
one of the nicest men.
Here is Alan Dean, the funny controller.
Yeah, CBOE had some really good people in their staff. I mean, and Alan was one of them. What Alan would do just to piss everybody off, he'd send everybody out the budget once a year, and he'd tape a dollar bill in the budget. Just to see if anybody read it, because somebody said, hey, Alan, where did this dollar bill come from? And if somebody had ever asked him about the dollar bill, he figured they'd never read it. One way of doing it, you know. But then everybody got the idea that he did that every time, so guys would just dig through just to find the dollar bill.
Yeah, here's my dollar.
Here's
good.
My dollar, yeah.
that'll tip the bartender when I buy a drink.
Yeah. S&P futures up 21, NASDAQ futures up 67. I don't really have any red on the page here except the VIX. We've got bonds down a little bit. Other than that, everything is green. So I suppose that's good. Maybe it'll even last today. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. Good grab on that song, Eddie. Is that what you were in here wandering around looking for, Kong? You're looking for the album, or what
were
you
looking
doing?
For the thumb drive.
Oh, I got to
yeah, as soon as you do traffic, weather, sports, and markets, I'll give you some more background on that song. It's kind of an interesting
The thumb drive is stuck in my machine here. I actually used it, believe it or not. Of course, I didn't download it. I didn't know this. I had somebody else. SP Futures up 20.
Great song.
NASDAQ Futures up 64. Dow Futures up 197, which is 200 a second ago. So we're trying to make a run on a Friday here. We'll see if we can hang in there. As they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right, Manny? Nikkei up 171. That's 0.7%. Shanghai up 25.8%. Hang Seng up 189.8%. So bullish across the board over there. DAX up 2 points, so call that flat. FTSE up 20. 0.3%, Kekaran up 6.1%. Bonds, 10-year, 0.68, so again, moving nowhere. Bund, minus 0.46. Japan, we're almost back down to zero. We made it almost to 0.05%, now we're 0.02. Oil, up 22 cents at 37.52, but still down at least 10% on a week. Brent, up 9 cents to 40.15. Natural gas, 231. RBOB, 110. So gas prices slipping, sliding here. Gold's down $8 to 1,955. Silver down 26 cents, 27.02. Copper, 304. Did some more stuff in one of the copper companies yesterday, and I think this copper thing might hang in there for a while. If it does, I am a little bullish in there, but I don't know. I'm not a copper trader. I just bought a stock that has some copper and some gold in it. So anyway, Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Seemingly every day due to light traffic volumes with a lot of people working from home and a lot of people going to school from home. And then nothing's changed this morning. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways all quiet. Lakeshore Drive is quiet, although there is a weather threat. Lake Michigan, high waves of 3 to 6 feet and life-threatening currents, so stay away from the lakefront.
Remember when the lake used to be considered a recreational thing instead of a death trap?
I know. It says avoid piers, breakwaters, and lakeshore trails this morning due to the high waves, so keep that in mind. Only issue that's affecting roadways would appear to be out in the southwestern suburbs. Fairview Avenue between 63rd and 59th is closed due to a light pole hazard. I assume a light pole went down, and that's causing an issue there. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, clouds and some rain early before we should clear up later on this morning and early afternoon. We'll reach a high of 68, which is still well below normal, but a bit warmer than it's been the last few days. Right now it's overcast and 62 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 98 today. Right now it's clear and 69. In sports, the Cubs fell behind early again and were down 3-0, and you felt like deja vu from the night before, but they stormed back with a 5-run fourth, tacked on a few more, and held on to beat the Reds 8-5, taking 2 of 3 in that series. The Cardinals split their doubleheader with the Tigers, so the Cubs gained a half game on the Redbirds and now lead 3 games over second place St. Louis heading into the weekend. Cubs are in Milwaukee tonight for a 3-game set. White Sox were off. They'll host the Tigers tonight at 7:10 Chicago time down on the south side. 3-game series against Detroit. Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 5-2. And the NFL season kicked off last night down in Kansas City, and the defending champs had no issue with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, jumping out to a 31-7 lead and holding on to beat the Texans 34-20. Chiefs are definitely the team to beat again in 2020. Chief.
I saw a couple of plays last night that they were so simple, they were beautiful. The tight end screen where the guy just looked like he was pass blocking this guy, and then the guy beat him, then he just stood there, got the ball, and took off.
Yep.
I mean,
How about that rookie running back for Kansas City?
Yeah.
He looks like the real deal. Good Lord. His first game last night.
Where'd he get him?
Out of LSU. I mean, he was the best running back in the national championship game when LSU beat Clemson. He was really good all year, but he was overshadowed by the number one pick quarterback out of LSU, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But he was very talented, and the Chiefs got him at the end of the first round. And now you just add another weapon to that offense. It's like, wow, they're unbeatable, barring injury.
I couldn't get over how good that number 70. Was he a rookie and a guard?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I know.
They kept saying
Collins
last night.
Talked about him a lot last night. I doubt he was a rookie, but he could have been.
Kevin, two things. I don't want to go into.
Before you go, let me give you the rundown on Time Is On My Side. So we all know the Rolling Stones song. They released it in 1964. That was the second release of the song that year. The original was actually a woman named Irma Thomas. I don't know if you know Irma Thomas, but she's still alive. She's 79. Her last album, she's an R&B singer, and her last album release was 2014, but she won her first Grammy of her long career in 2007 for her blues album, After the Rain. And the song itself, what's kind of interesting is some of the people who also have recorded it. The Moody Blues, Wilson Pickett, Patti Smith, George Jones, if you want a country version of it. Kind of interesting, and as Tom mentioned, I kind of get into this, when I get a song and it's a really good song, is who else thought it was cool enough to say, I want to record that too? Because I think the cover versions are the ones where the artists themselves are saying, I really like what you did there.
I have a quick question, and then I have to I have one other quick question. The other is, I want to bring you back to your banker days, which I'm sure you're going to hate, but that's okay.
Real quick, though.
I have some happy memories of being the man in the gray flannel suit.
So she wrote that song? Is that what you're saying?
No, she didn't write it, actually. The song was written by Jimmy Norman, and let's see what some of his credits are. You know, Jimmy Norman's like, he was born in 37, so as I look at it, not a lot of original work himself, so I assume that he was primarily a songwriter. But his career began in the as a performer began in the 1950s. I'd have to do a little more research on Jimmy Norman.
But, yeah, I've never heard of him.
But he was the songwriter, and let's see if I can find any other credits for his songs.
I have a quick question for you, Mavens, when it comes to this stuff. When all these other people do the song, do they all have to seek out the writer and get his okay, or how does that all work?
I don't think they have to get his permission. I just think they have to pay a royalty.
See, like if you're in the union, does that general royalty apply, or how does that work?
Don't know what to tell you. That would actually be a fun topic. We should get a guest out of the music industry.
Yeah. That would be a really fun topic. I do know that you can cover a song live, no problem, at a show. But if you're going to record a song and sell it, you absolutely do have to get their permission, and they get a cut. And that, I don't know if that's a negotiated or if that is just a standard publishing right cut or whatever. But the royalties are significant, obviously, for a person that writes a song that becomes a hit from someone else. They make a lot of money off of that. Or at least they used to.
It's hard to imagine how the permission works, because there's songs out there that have been covered 300-400 times. So I don't know exactly how it works. And I do know that there are definitely some royalty issues and when songs get played. Because my son, and he has, and this band hasn't existed for, oh my God, since the 90s, but he said every once in a while he still gets a check from his Crash Poet days. You can find Crash Poet too and make them bumper music. They're on YouTube. He still gets a check every once in a while for about a buck and a half.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to have something.
And also, real quick, the guard you were mentioning, Kalichi Osamele is his name, number 70. He's out of Iowa State. He's been in the league for about 9 years, but he was with the Raiders and was a second-round pick back in 2012. So he played for the Baltimore Ravens out of the draft, and then the Raiders, and then the Jets for 1 year, and now he's with Kansas City, and he was great last night.
Yeah, it was. When you hit all these different bands from all these different countries, I just kind of wondered. I had a feeling. I'm not positive, but. Jan Lee, his secretary, assistant, is a pretty good singer. I went to see her a couple times at Fitzgerald's. And I think at some point you used to just join the union, and union dues allowed you to play pretty much anything you wanted live, Kevin? Was that how that used to work? I think. I'm not positive.
Yeah, you're asking, and I just don't know.
Well, all right, and I have one other question regarding, I promise to only do one question on the COVID, then I want to talk about banks. Last night, they said they'd given 64,000 tests, like in the last 3 weeks, and they had 5 positives. And still, everybody's running around wearing masks and helmets and face shields. Kevin, if the number was zero, when are we going to call this off? It seems like a lot of tests for not very many.
November 4th, Tom.
Who's going to? Really?
And it's for two reasons. One, here's the thing: is you would say, well, why don't you know if you blame Democrats for wanting to drag this on for whatever election benefit is, and a lot of people do. So, but if you do, then you start asking yourself, why are we doing this in Republican states too?
Yeah,
and the answer is that everybody is afraid to make the decision that somehow causes a new outbreak.
Right.
So
oh, yeah.
that's one, because everybody's in election season. It's not, you know, it's not one way, and even governors who don't have re-election in front of them have concerns. But the other is that they don't want to annoy the people who are still true believers in all of this. So you get a situation like Wisconsin. I don't know if I mentioned this on the air or if I mentioned it somewhere else, but Wisconsin's governor, Tony Evers, actually issued a new emergency order about a month or so ago, maybe even a little bit more than that. But a new order on this, and then use that as a basis to implement a mask mandate statewide. Now, first of all, there is no way that order would stand up, because it's a second bite at the apple. And in Wisconsin, to renew an order, you have to take it to the legislature. But the legislature has made the calculation, the Republican leaders in the legislature there have made the calculation that they don't want to fight it, because leading into the election, that would bother a lot of people who might otherwise vote their way. So they're just leaving it alone. Now, they may go after it on November 4th. They may go, into court and do it, because they really ought to protect the legislature's right by law to negate that kind of a renewal order. It's not a renewal. Evers issued it as if it were a new thing, but it really is not. But the other thing that is a factor in there is that in Wisconsin, at least half of the counties and maybe more have already announced, no, we're not enforcing that. So they basically, said, I don't care.
But the people,
Evers can do whatever he wants.
But the people
I'm
who
not enforcing it.
So Kevin, that doesn't matter.
That's why you're seeing all this stuff, though. Is it's all election calculus on both sides.
But people, I just hope to God we never have like a World War II on our hands, where guys would withhold an invasion or not reinforce an area that needed reinforcing because there was election the next day. I mean, the idea of not enforcing it, that doesn't work. I mean, Audrey and I went out to dinner last Saturday at the Beer Stube out in Will County. The police, every mayor out there said, we're not enforcing this thing. It's idiotic. And yet, every restaurant obeyed the rules. So if they didn't, they wouldn't have got enforced, but they all did. Everyone I saw.
Yeah, and well, they're afraid. Again, they're afraid that somebody from the state is going to come in and shut them down.
Right. But, I talked to one of my, he's still a good friend, but he's moved to Boston a long time ago. He does option stuff out there. And he and his wife, they're one of the people for 25 weeks. He hasn't been to work. She hasn't been out of the house. And, they finally last week took a trip and drove to Michigan and saw, like, their kid. I have all kinds of people that write into me, Kevin, and say they have a granddaughter who was born May 1st. They haven't seen her yet. I mean, this is seriously embedded into people. My buddy Greg, the attorney last night, he goes, why are people still doing this? I said, Greg, think Colombians versus Italians. He says, what are you talking about? Which all people tell me all the time. And I said, the Italians, when they were the Italian mob, they would say, Matt Weber, you owe us money. We're going to kill you. And Matt Weber might say, buzz off, and, I'll take that chance. Where the Colombians say, we're not going to kill you, we're going to kill your mother. What they've done with this, it's not about, there's people here in the office that are terrified, but it's not about them. They're not afraid necessarily to take this on if it happens on them, but they don't want, the thought that what they've been taught is, what if you give it to the 5-year-old who the grandmother watches the 5-year-old 2 days a week? That all of a sudden you could be the person who gave it to the 5-year-old. The 5-year-old, nobody knows if 5-year-old's got it because they don't, show any symptoms usually. Not that they couldn't, but most of the time they don't. And goes to the grandma and the grandma croaks. That you're all of a sudden, left with this burden the rest of your life. I mean, that chain reaction they've put to people has scared the living bejesus out of everybody that isn't normally scared about anything. Right? I mean, I'd be exceptionally worried if I went to a nursing home, even though I'm pretty much going on my, Maddie and I are going about our daily lives. I mean, I wear a mask when I am supposed to, when somebody's going to be afraid. I mean, I do what I'm supposed to do, but by and large, I have not backed down a second. And, and I've been lucky. Maybe I have the T-cell immunity, who knows? Or maybe, I had something earlier on or whatever it is. But, I don't think it's possible to call off the dogs here that easy. like after the election. I really don't. Because this has gotten pretty embedded into people. Anyway, let's forget about that. We talked about that all week. I want to talk to you about the banking stuff. We got some time. Yesterday, all I did was listen to a long story on CNBC all day long about, well, first of all, everybody on there, all the experts, for those who don't remember, at the end of last year, virtually every one of them said they wanted to be in oil this year. This was the comeback in oil, and they wanted to be in the banking sector. Well, I'm going to say the XLF started the year at 31, and now it's 25. Okay, not so hot on that one. The XLE, which is the oil sector, started the year at 60-plus, and now it's 35, so really not so good on that one. All right, so they're coming from a, shall we say, 0 for 2 on their bets, Manny, at least. So yesterday, all they're doing is talking up the banks about how much money these banks have, because obviously the Fed has done nothing but shove money basically up their behind. But my question is, Kevin, no matter what, no matter how much money Citigroup or Wells Fargo have, it's not about them, and I'm going to say my opinion, and you tell me where I'm wrong. It's not about them. It's about the health of their customers. And we're talking about 7% of the mortgages now are not getting paid. What if, you know, 10% of the 10, 15, 20% of the buildings in downtown Chicago or something, even at the flush level that people think banks are now, how big of a hit can they take to their customer base before they don't look so flush? Is it 5% of the loans not being repaid? Is it 10? Is it 8? Is it 20? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if half of them don't get paid, they're screwed. But if 5% of them don't get paid, are they screwed? I mean, how flush do you think they are? You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to, you look financial statement by financial statement. They have guidance for what their loan loss reserves have to be. And when you start to deplete loan loss reserves, then you have to start replacing it. So from in the accounting sense, the expense is in what you put in the reserve. So when you start looking at profitability, you want to go to that loan loss reserve, because all you're doing is basically, if done properly, it's your rainy day fund, and so you're funding it. And so you want to see how much historically the bank has been putting in of its earnings into the loan loss reserve. And then you want to monitor the balance of the loan loss reserve, because as soon as you have to start tapping into it, then you also have to start refunding it. And when you start tapping into it at a much higher rate, then you have to refund it. So if you're operating on a 7% return on the bank, and all of a sudden you have to start carving into that, you're going to have a lot of losses. If you're operating on a 20% return, then you have a little wiggle room. And the banks are all over the place on this. So, you know, you have to go bank by bank and see, you know, A, is what is their what has their profitability looked like all along, and B, is how well have they been funding their reserves.
What is the exposure, if any, that's why I'm asking the question, of a large money center bank to a smaller community bank that, say, says banks through them? Is there no liability whatsoever there? I'm thinking maybe there isn't, but I don't know.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Can you say
well,
that
if, again? If First National Bank of Hobart, you know, uses as their clearing bank Citigroup or somebody, does Citigroup have any liability whatsoever if the Bank of Hobart goes under? Is that all the Fed or the Comptroller of the Currency?
Well, it depends. You know, do they have loans to them?
Okay, right.
Is what it is. Otherwise, no. Now, one of the things that you see a lot, especially if it's funding a local project, is that a lot of these smaller, more like the mid-sized banks, are going to be doing syndications, or they're going to participate in syndications. So, you know, you may have some of these big projects, and this is really common amongst real estate development projects, because everybody has a loan limit. You can't make a loan larger than X. And so if you have a project that needs funding at X plus, then you take at least some, if not at least the plus and maybe more, and you build a syndication and you get a number of other banks to participate in it. And that's where things get kind of dicey, because then when it goes under, it may reach out to a dozen or 50 or 100 banks that participate in the syndication of the loan. From the borrower's standpoint, it just goes, the payment goes to one place, and then it gets doled out every month to the others. What happens then is the first one to smell the pile of poop and get out of the syndication is those are the ones that win. Everybody else winds up holding the bag.
That's
a big deal. That's how this cascades through the system. Is a lot of these really big projects like this are not just going to reach Chase or B of A or somebody like that. They're going to reach 50 banks.
Well, because my
and some of them and some of the smaller banks dive into the syndications at loan limit, so it's a big hurt to them.
Please tell me I'm wrong on this, but my feeling is, and I'll use a mathematical thing because I haven't done math in so long, is when we start, with the COVID shutdown, clearly the last 15 days in March were one problem. Okay, we're going to extend it through April. That's another problem. As people start dragging on savings, and government come up with some money for a lot of these small businesses and individuals, but we're still leaking a little bit, I think, just about everywhere, even though people are digging into their savings and maybe own the Tripoli Tap and those kinds of places. And now we're talking July. Now we're talking August. I get this awesome fear, Kevin, and please tell me I'm nuts. I get this awesome fear that at some point it's no longer arithmetic, where instead of 10% of the places go under, we got 15%. At some point, I think it's going to go almost exponential. That some month we're going to have two times as many places go under as the month before, and the next month it might be four times. We're just going to reach the end of the rubber band. Am I wrong there, or is there some reason why I should feel that way?
Well, I'll still tell you you're nuts regardless. Oh, yeah. But I don't think you're wrong. I think there's some real risk here, and this is potentially a huge problem. And once again, if you start looking at what we might have to do to keep it all from collapsing, because we have been so irresponsible all along when it comes to the federal budget, how are we going to afford that?
Well, you're not going to bail out 50 states and 1,000 municipalities and 25 huge businesses in addition to paying people's salaries when your total tax take in. I'm not talking about payroll taxes, because those go right out the door the next day. What does the government take in terms of income tax? $1.5 trillion, $1.6 trillion, and they've already pissed away $5 trillion this year. That's almost 3 years of taxes, maybe four in 1 year. So if we double that again, so we just spent the tax receipts for 2027. That's interesting. People think that the federal government has, I don't think there's a problem if they got to go another trillion, or if they had to come up with $1 trillion in the first place. And because when things get going, we can come back from that. We are America, for God's sake. But at some point, Kevin, why do people think that everything everybody else screws up on, the government is capable of? They're just not that big, even as big as they are. And if you look at the numbers, the states are double the tax take of the U.S. Federal income tax, not the payroll taxes. But the states are, I'm going to say, 2.3 billion. The municipals are like 2 or 1.8. I should get up my page here. And the federal government's like 1.6. So how do you remotely think that they can float the whole rest of the place, including the private sector? But if the government here was like it is, I think in some other parts of the world, where the only taxation authority comes from the federal government, and they pony out stuff to the cities and the provinces or whatever the hell they are, it would be different. They're bigger. Our government, as big as it is, is, if you look at it in terms of the whole of all the governance in the country, is not that big. They essentially take in maybe 40% of the total taxes. How the hell they're going to bail everybody else? I don't know. But anyway, Kevin, thank you very much. We'll talk next week.
They can't, and that, so you know, we definitely have looked down the road, and I'm not real optimistic.
But I hope somehow we pull it off. Somehow, I mean, we don't want to go any lower. Kevin, thank you. SP Futures are now up 26, putting a whip to it here a little bit. As the futures up 105, come back, Mr. Wayne Madsen. Should be interesting.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Time to out. Mr. Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. We also have Mr. Matt Weber on the board, digging up good music for us and all kinds of stuff. Well, he hasn't come up with a roll over Beethoven yet. We'll see if he does. But
I can do that.
Wayne, how are you, bud?
Oh, just another beautiful day in, pandemia.
Yeah, are you locked?
I like that.
Are you locked in, locked down? What are you? Do you sneak out the back door and get some sun?
Well, here in Florida, we really don't know what's going on because we have a governor, Ron DeSantis, who has told everybody to send their kids back to school, but the teachers, parents, and the school administrators have a different opinion of things. So it's hard to say here in Florida whether we're locked down or locked out or well, locked in.
The in a couple of the places here in Illinois, and I wonder if you guys are this somewhat insane, the teachers have pulled it off that they're not going to go to school. Okay, but now the kids that have both parents working, they're actually sending the kids to the park district with their computers, and they get supervision there and can work online from the park district because the park district people are working and the teachers aren't. Now, if you can find some sense there, you're a better man than me because it's at some point, I mean, this is not me taking one political side or the other. At some point, you're going to have to say, I know it's cold outside, but if you want your check for the football game today, you got to go out there and play. At some point, teachers are going to, if you don't go to work, you're not getting paid. And I don't know when that point is, Wayne. I'm not that smart. But I know that day is going to come, and people are going to be bitching. And I also know that, well, I suspect, that in the Bible, the day the manna from heaven stopped, that Moses got a lot of grief. But you know what?
Right.
You know, but I mean, it's somewhere, someplace, somebody's going to have to make that call.
If Donald Trump were Moses, he would have stolen the manna before the people could have gotten their hands on it. and said the manna never came.
But now you know, I mean, actually, when I started talking about this, I actually, you know, I did what I'm supposed to do. I went back and reread that whole section. You could only take what you needed because it only lasted a day, right? So if you scooped up more, it didn't do you any good.
Yeah. So Trump wouldn't be interested in something
that. For all of a sudden, he'd sell it to you, and all of a sudden, it's all spoiled when you got it, right?
That's right.
That wouldn't be so good. When's the last time you were in Washington?
Well, I haven't been up there. I haven't been there since December. The city is pretty much still closed down. Imagine. You know, Washington, where lobbyists are actually staying home, and lawyers have their hands in their own pockets.
I'm somewhat curious. I mean, one of the questions I always like to ask you is anybody really in charge there, or is the bureaucracy so powerful they do what they damn well please? I mean, Trump, whatever, right, wrong, or whatever, is lobbying people to go back to school. Yet it appears to me, from one of the letters that I get from people, that the people at the Health, Education, and Welfare Group, or Department of Education, they're home. Well, how the hell?
Most everybody is telecommuting now.
Yeah. So,
some
departments
have ordered their people back to work, but I have a friend who's 67 and still working as a senior executive service person. And if you're over a certain age, they're telling people, no, you're at risk, so you continue to work from home.
What I'm saying is, at some point here, the example has to be led. I mean, if our mayor in Chicago, let's not go there. But at some point, the first thing she has to do is order the aldermen back to their office, right? I mean, you start at home. I mean, these people don't even have that kind of common sense. Now, our generation, if you're going to demand everybody else go back to work, the first thing you do is get out and get in your car, and you're the first person back at the plant, right? But these people don't think that way for some reason. I don't know why, but I mean, maybe.
I think it's the lack of any kind of consistent message, and that's the White House. I mean, you know, the president has that bully pulpit for a reason, and otherwise nobody would ever pay attention to what the president has to say, any president for that matter. But I think it's very interesting. I just recently downloaded a 22-page set of guidelines for the movie industry, movie, TV films, streaming TV, for how to get back into production safely with this pandemic. And I'm telling you, that's one of the best documents I've ever seen or red, because they talk about, look, once you come into the bubble, that's where everybody's been pre-checked. You stay there, and no one who doesn't belong there is allowed in. The badges that everybody wears, they're either color coded, or you wear an armband or wristband is color coded, and there's an RFID chip. So if somebody does come down with coronavirus inside the bubble, that's the production area, that's where they're actually filming with actors and whatnot, that they can do contact tracing, find out who's been exposed to this individual. It's what's allowing production on films and television shows to resume.
But two things. I'm no biologist here, but I don't. There was a time when we had everybody's going to be on a ventilator. You and me for sure, because we're up there. And this was St. Patrick's Day, and I had zero problem with those guys shutting things down. To this day, I think it was the right move for a while to do what they say, flatten the curve. Nobody ever said that we were ahead of this disease, that we were going to eradicate the common cold. I mean, but now we've reached the point where there's some people dying that have, I'm sure there's only going to be somebody that died just of this, but by and large, the hospitals aren't full. I was just at my doctor, and I said, how'd you guys make out? And he goes, we had 15 cases, and everybody's here. At some point here, we're just going to have to declare, we're pushing, Wayne, I think we're pushing 50 million people in the country that probably already had it. We're making zero accommodation for those people.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still supposed to wear a mask, stay home, or whatever it is. I mean, at some point here, we're going to have to declare every man for himself. And I don't know when that is. I mean, last night I watched a football game, 64,000 tests, they had 5 positives. Well, for God's sake, I want to be the test guy. You know, I mean, I don't know when that is, but at some point, and not everybody's going to agree, somebody's going to have to say, we're back to normal. If somebody gets it, go home for 10 days. I mean, like you do with the regular flu. And let's hope it doesn't get any deadlier or mutate or something. But right now, we're pretty close to that point, I think, and I don't see how we could get there. Do you?
Well, I think there's a lot of variables still at stake. One is this vaccine. Now, there's a lot of people that are opposed to vaccines in general, and they're not going to take that vaccine. They're not going to allow their children to get the vaccine. Well, so, you know, this thing is... I just, every day I wake up, I think I'm in one of those really low-budget... I hate to use a more Hollywood terminology or references, but one of those low-budget disaster movies where the president is a fool.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, some scientists saying, you know, hey, I know the president's a fool, but we got to do it this way, you know.
But I've never seen a situation, Wayne, there probably never has been in history, where everybody's got an article, everybody's an expert. If you say kids don't normally get it, if I were to say that on the air, within 20 minutes after the show, I'll get an email from some guy in, you know, up your behind Idaho or someplace, that there's a kid in the town got it and he died.
I think I've been through that town.
Yeah. But no. I'm saying no matter what it is, there's going to be somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And I think the same thing happens, you know, with other diseases. This is worse than those, I know. But, I mean, there's going to come a point here where we're going to have to say, you're going back to school, and if you don't want to go back to school as a teacher, you're not getting paid. Because then you get the people who say, well, gee, I'm working at home just as effectively as that. I wonder if any one of those CEOs, Wayne, call their company. I wonder if the mayor calls an alderman's office. It's nowhere near the same service as it was before. We're not even on the same page. The
idea, everything's been disrupted. I don't know where nobody knows where this is going to end. You know, we've got asymptomatic people who are spreading it and not knowing about it. Then you got the people who aren't wearing the masks. We're on new territory here, because, as you said, that we've never had something like this. Even the 1918 flu, not the 1917 flu, like, you know, Trump calls it. It was the 1918 flu. Lasted till 1919. But, you didn't have, people did what they were told to do back then. I mean, there wasn't this, my rights are being infringed because you're telling me to wear a face covering. You can see pictures of people on the street, traffic cops directing traffic, all wearing face masks back then. And, you didn't have people, complaining about it. Of course, it wasn't television.
I would say.
There were newspapers.
But I would say, Wayne,
didn't get too many letters to the editor saying, darn it, I'm not going to wear a mask. It's infringement on my rights.
Well, I'm going to say two things. One is, if somebody, you know, we're not spending too much time on this, because I want to know more about the election going on, but I'm going to say that if I go someplace where there's a bunch of older people, the Myers on Sunday morning or something, I'm not going to buck the chain, Wayne. But I will tell you this, that there is no question in my mind is that it is unhealthy for healthy people to wear a mask all day. More germs on the mask, inside, outside, oxygen, whatever it is. You would never just say to a healthy population, everybody slap a mask on your face all day long. You would never do that. It's not healthy.
Oh, yeah. Well, the people I kind of feel sorry for are the people that are still working retail and, fast food places, because they do have to wear it. They do have to wear the mask all day long.
Yeah.
Transit workers and,
But here's two things, Wayne. This has become a very class disease, class-conscious disease. I listen to the boobs on TV, and all they do is talk about it. We should be doing this. We should be taking that. We should be staying at home. We got guys like Arnie Duncan coming out and saying we should all. Arnie's gotten his sandwich every day. His mails come every day. Yeah. His Amazon deliveries come every day. Who the hell is he? I'm going to say half the economy is working. Those people don't count.
Yeah.
It's not like when you walk out to the alley, you expect the garbage can to be so full you can't. You expect the garbage can to still, the garbage guy to still come by. What about him? We don't care about him.
Right.
Downstairs, Manny and I just saw the guys come in from yet another fire run. They pile in the back of that truck. There's seven people in there when they go out. We have a really active place right below us here. You know, you've been here. And those guys are going to do 15 runs a day. You're telling me they're not working? The policemen aren't working? The bus driver's not working? I mean, at some point, it's not just all about you. And if my mom was still alive and I wanted to take her out to the store or whatever, I would make absolutely sure that I had an N95 mask, okay? And then the minute we walked out of a store, we'd throw it away and I'd put another one on if we went to the restaurant. I would do it properly. I wouldn't expect everybody else in the place to have to wear some stupid thing that they haven't washed in 5 weeks. And who's kidding who? There's people in a couple of bars I still go to. I feel like I should go over and snap it off their face and put it in a hazmat thing and find out what's on it.
Yeah. Or dunk it into their cocktail.
Well, one of the guys.
Alcohol.
That's right. Dump it in their drink.
One of the attorneys that Maddie knows I'm talking about. He's arguing with me about why I shouldn't wear a mask, and I said, first of all, you're wearing the Stagecoach hold-up mask. That's not doing anybody any good. Oh, what do you mean if I sneeze, it holds back like 80% of the droplets? I said, if I took that off your face, when was the last time you washed it? He goes, I never have. Anyway, what is...
I like my bank that still has a sign up, no hats, sunglasses, or masks.
Yeah. Well,
of course. Then they say masks are required.
You know,
next to it, there's a sign that says "Mask required" when you enter this premises.
Well, yeah. So what? Election-wise, we're getting close. There's people already sending in their mail-in ballots. Why all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden can't people walk down? Now I know a lot of places you can't just walk down the block, but I mean, it seems like a lot of stuff's coming together at once, Wayne. And I don't think people trust. I mean, the first time in Chicago when. I forgot the guy's name. The guy ran for county board president.
The city of vote early and often.
Well, but I mean, one of my friends, happens to be a lady, has been an election judge forever. And she said that the absentee ballots would come to the precinct and they would get counted there and they'd check to make sure the signature was the same on the absentee ballot, the same way they do with a regular person. And all of a sudden, one year, Claypool was the guy. All the absentee ballots didn't go to the precinct. They went to the county building. And Claypool says, well, I want to see them. I'm not going to let you guys come out with a number out of the county building. I mean, you don't have all the books with all the signatures and stuff like they do at the precinct. And how the hell are you counting them? And all of a sudden, everybody said, oh, he's a loser. He's a chump. He had no business. Well, now, all these ballots, where are they going? They're not going to the precinct, I don't think. I mean, who counts this stuff?
They're going to the Board of Elections. I voted absentee. I was in the military. I always had to vote absentee. Of course, I had to send it in by mail. One time, though, I was traveling, and a trip came up out of the blue. I was planning to vote like anyone else on election day, but I went to the county courthouse, got my absentee ballot, and then I filled it out, walked it back in, and put it in a like a drop box that they had inside the county building. I assume that's what's going on with, you know, opening up the stadiums and whatnot to allow people to vote either early or by, you know, absentee or whatnot. But I've known people that work the election day polls and whatnot, and I think the system, except for what this clown they put in charge of the Postal Service has done, I think the system has worked generally pretty good. Not as good as Canada. Canada has a different system, and they're able to count their votes pretty quickly. They use paper ballots. But I think, you know, with all the other problems we've had over the years with voting, I think our system, at least before the pandemic, I think it worked pretty good.
Well, I think it, it's a longer story than today's conversation. I think the idea of this winner take all in the states is got to change somewhere. I don't know that the electoral college is the hit or
as
something.
In other words, as Maine goes, so should go the nation, right? Maine does that too and Nebraska, the only two states that do it by congressional district.
Right. I mean, the idea that anybody who's ever had a statistics 101 class knows that the Bush-Gore situation in Florida was a dead heat.
Oh.
Was an absolute dead heat.
Yeah.
And nobody would have cared if half the delegates went to Bush and half went to Gore. But the idea that all have to go one place, it's not like, you know, you're watching, Bonanza and Haas and Little Joe are running for mayor, and it got down to Ben Carr. It was the only vote who hadn't been counted, and there was a tie, and he's flipping a coin behind in the voting booth, and you see the coin go up in the air. That's not what happens now. I mean, if you get within, 300 votes in a state like Illinois, that's a dead heat. It's not like it's perfect enough to where you can say, oh no, Maddie. I mean, it's not like a 20-person town. So everybody should get that idea out of their head, I think. Plus you incentivize people in the people in the red states. Oh, it's all about them, right? But the people in the red state, it's not just in Illinois. If you're a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't really pay you around the block, right? Because whether or not the Republican guy, instead of getting the normal 40%, let's say, I don't know what the numbers are in Illinois, if he busses behind and he gets 48%, it doesn't do him any good. Which is really screwed up when you think about it. And the Democrat who normally gets 60, if he's such a putz and he only gets 52, it doesn't hurt him. Right?
Yeah.
So that's not the way vote elections should be, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I've just sort of done an unscientific poll where I live. I live in you may have heard these political pundits always talk about the I-4 corridor in Florida. That's where a lot of the retirees live, and it goes from Tampa through Orlando and up to Daytona Beach.
Okay.
It's like if you took a diagonal line on the Atlantic and just took it down the southwest, that would be your I-4 corridor. I live right off the I-4 corridor, right smack dab in the middle of that demographic. In 2016, and I know this from a friend of mine who was one of the poll workers at our local precinct, it was 80% Hillary and 80% Trump and 20% Hillary. And I've just taken a poll of the lawn signs. I may have seen one Hillary sign in 2016. Right now, Biden-Harris signs are probably 65% to the Trump signs.
Really?
And some Trump people have taken their signs down, especially some of the veterans. They say they're not going to vote. They're saying, well, I'm not going to vote for Biden, but I'm not going to vote for Trump. So they're going to sit at home, which is actually a net gain for Biden.
Right. That's
as opposed to the last election. So my unscientific poll is Biden's going to win the I-4 corridor, which is going to win him the state of Florida, which, as we know, can really sometimes affect the national election.
Oh, yeah?
I have a question.
Unfortunately, it has affected the national election. But
I have a question sort of on that same line about people sitting out. My wife, and I wonder if you've heard other women say this, she said she's not going to vote for either of them either because they're both, at minimum, serial sexual harassers, but at maximum, depending upon who you believe, serial sexual assaulters, if not rapists. And she's like, I'm not voting for either of these assholes.
Yeah, the issue with the, you know, the Republicans have, you know, taken this woman, this Tara Reid. Now, the problem with this woman is, what she claims is that she, I don't want to get into details, but she was sexually assaulted basically when you go from this the Capitol building to the Senate building, there's a subway train. It's a small little a couple of cars, and that she claims that this underground passageway is where this occurred. That would be like trying to get away with an assault like that in Grand Central Station around 5:30 in the afternoon. It just, the woman is not telling the truth. And, as far as this, and there's a doctored video going around about Joe Biden with, it's a swearing in ceremony. And, you know, he's kissing this little, you know, this one senator, the newly sworn in senator, his daughter. Well, that senator is Chris Coons, who comes from Delaware, they've been personal friends of each other for years. So that's like your uncle, you know, Uncle Joe. and I'm from that area. I'm from Philadelphia, and he is from Wilmington, which is the greater Philadelphia area. It's Delaware Valley. That's the way people are there, you know, especially in certain ethnic families, Italians and Irish, and which Biden is.
Wait a minute.
That's commonplace.
I'm half and half. The Irish are not kissers. The Italians are.
They're not even close. Yeah, and then there's huggers. There's a lot of huggers. Polish people like to hug.
There is. I don't think I've ever met an Irish hugger. Italians, yes.
Yeah. Italians are all over you.
I met a few Irish muggers, but, but no, you know, the way... I still have bruises on my cheek from some aunt that I never knew, you know. Oh, you're such a cute, you know, and now they would squeeze your cheek.
So, yeah.
You know, that's just the way they are there. I don't think Philadelphia is any, you know, exception. I think there's a lot of places where people like that. That's the extended family sort of part of the United States where, you know, people just, they do that. I mean.
I have a way I... As you know, I mean, you've been on the show the whole time. The dude's been in office. I've never been a Trump fan. I will try and point out the part where his instincts, I think, are correct, because I think he has some. I like to point out the spot where I think he's been correct on a lot of things, actually. Certainly his view of government, I think, is pretty spot on. And he can tell when something is wasted and those kinds of things, and he can tell when deals are bad. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have any skills. I mean, he does. I've also been a lifelong Democrat, but now that I'm in the middle, I honestly feel I can see clearer, way clearer. I am very concerned about the Democratic side and the ascension all of a sudden of Joe Biden. I have no confidence that that man is in charge, and I don't know who the hell is, and it bothers the bleep out of me, because this whole agenda that there seems to be percolating out of the left is, to me, if you were to ask me 10 years ago which was the tyrannical party, I would say without a doubt it's the right. Now I see the left as even being more tyrannical and more, they want to change people's thought process, they want to rewrite history, they want to do a lot of things that the right never even thought of. And I don't know where all this is coming from, and I don't know who's behind it, but I really don't like it. I mean, I know
I put your mind at ease. People that are saying that, you know, Biden's going to govern the left, look at all the Republicans that are coming out and endorsing him. You know, and he understands those endorsements there's going to be a payback part of that too. They're going to expect them to govern more from the center than
far
left.
I sure hope so, but I mean, in our business, in the Obama administration, all of a sudden the Department of Labor was writing regulations regarding managing money. You know, for what? Yeah. And now that has stood down under Trump. Now those guys are going to pop right back up. I mean, they're going to demand only a few people get to do IRAs, and they're going to ban options in IRAs. And you know what? These firms got a lot of power, and they're right up the Democrats behind, more so than the Republicans, which I never thought I'd say. So I have nervousness with that. Anyway, S&P futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 60. We're maintaining our rally here. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Sir Wayne Manson with us as well. Bank of America says this is a normal correction bull market alive and well. Either one of you guys see anything normal in the last 6 months? Remotely normal? I mean, what are they talking?
I forgot what normal feels like.
Yeah, me too. S&P futures up 14. The CPI numbers came out there, 0.4, which is a little higher than people thought. A little hotter. So the last 3 months, I'll get them exactly. They played 0.6, 0.65, and 0.4. So if you add all that together, we're talking about, you know, 0.5 on the year, 5% or 5.5 or 6, which is... And then you got the Fed guy coming out and saying he has to go even higher to make up for all the years he didn't make it. Whatever. Dow futures up 127 over in Asia. Nikkei up 171. That's 0.7%. Shanghai up 25.7%. Hang Seng up 189.7%. So across the board. Over in Europe, DAX up 3. Call that flat. FTSE up 20. FTSE, not FTSE. FTSE up 25.4%. CAC around up 9.2%. As a way of review, yesterday, Dow was down 405 after being up 200. S&P down 59 after being up 20. So we had a huge rollover yesterday. Hopefully we'll not do that again today. NASDAQ was down 221, which is another 2%. And the bounce back here, we're up 0.3%. So some would say a dead cat bounce, as they used to say on the trading floor. A 10-year yield, 0.68. It's not going anywhere in a while. One minus 0.46. Japan positive 0.02. Oil. What a really bad week. Down 22 cents, 37.08. I'm going to say last Friday we were 42. So that's, what is that, 12, 15% in a week? Not good. Brent down 35 cents, 39.71. Natural gas, 229, down 2 cents. RBOB down to 108. Wow, it was 130-something a couple weeks ago. So be prepared to fill up cheaper this weekend. Gold down 12 bucks, 19.51. Silver down 37 cents, 26.92. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have an issue on the Bishop Ford outbound side just before I-57. An earlier semi-fire is on the right shoulder, and that has police and crews on the scene, but the fire has been put out and has been moved to the right shoulder. Dan Ryan to 8094 is 19 minutes, so expect some delays on the outbound Bishop Ford due to that issue with the semi. No issues on the inbound side. Ryan itself is looking good, as is I-57. Stevenson is all quiet. Eisenhower's been quiet all morning. Kennedy and Eden's looking good, too. And the suburban tollways are quiet as well. As we talked about earlier this morning, Lake Michigan, high waves today, as there is a weather warning, 3 to 6 feet in life-threatening currents. Stay out of the water. Also avoid piers, breakwaters, and lakeshore trails this morning with the dangerous waves. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, clouds early with a chance of rain, and then we'll be dry this afternoon and warm up to a high of 68. Could see a little bit of sunshine. Right now it's overcast and 63 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 98 today. Right now it's clear and 70. In sports, Cubs rallied back from a 3-0 deficit to beat the Reds 8-5. They took 2 of 3 in that series and will head to Milwaukee tonight with a 3-game lead over St. Louis, who split their doubleheader with the Tigers. White Sox were off. They're in first place, game up over the Twins and a game and a half over the Indians. They'll host the Tigers tonight, 7:10 Chicago time first pitch down on the south side. Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 5-2. And the NFL kicked off last night in Kansas City as the defending champion Chiefs had no problem with the Texans. They were up 31-7, held on to beat Houston 34-20. Chief.
These guys look pretty good.
Yes, they do.
Who's close?
Well, the Ravens, I think, will be very good again with Lamar Jackson and that team. Good defense, good running game in the AFC. The Patriots will be interesting. They're always there, but with no Brady and no Gronk and kind of a revamped roster behind Cam Newton, that'll be interesting. So I don't really know what to expect there. Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger's back, so they'll be in it. And that's the AFC. The NFC.
Is he got any gas left? He's older than me.
I don't know. He might not. We'll see. He's off, coming off of a big injury, but I guess he's looked good in training camp, and they expect him to.
What was the injury? Was it wrist or something? Or
I think it was his shoulder, maybe.
Like collarbone or shoulder or something like that. If memory serves, I'd have to look it up. The world has changed since.
How many of those guys you think were over in Europe getting stem cell treatments, Wayne? In the shoulders and the knees and so forth.
I have no idea.
They do some of that stuff at my chiropractor, and I said, well, does this stuff work? He goes, oh yeah, it works great. And I said, well, can you just put some in an artery and do the whole body? And I don't know if you can or not. Actually, I think in South America they are doing that. They're just pouring them into you. Where the idea that everything reloads, that'd be interesting. Anyway.
Well, they say Botox. I understand Botox comes from venomous snakes.
Well, Botox
I'm surprised
is poison.
With all the women I know that are getting Botox treatments, that there's any venomous snakes left anywhere.
Well, no, it's definitely poison, Botox.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, that's what it does. It kills. I think it kills the skin cells, so the new ones. Move in. I shouldn't say that, but something along those lines. There's machines out there now that take out wrinkles and stuff, and they're like a couple hundred hours a pop. The machines are like $100,000, but people make money on them.
Oh,
there's good stuff out there, man. By the time
I've decided to just grow old as gracefully as I can without all that stuff.
Manny, you might live to in good shape till you're like 125. You better have some money.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like a plan,
especially. They make you retire at 60. You got to get them a long way by yourself.
Well, I turned 37 this week, as you know, and I think the average male lives to be about 74. So I thought I was celebrated halfway there. But if I live to be 125, I got a long way to go.
Well, okay, but the average—it's how this stuff works. Okay, I mean, you're learning, but you still got something to learn.
Well, I know you're going to give me some lecture on actuarial tables.
Yes,
that says I'm going to live to be what, 90 now?
Well, every time I had a long story, but. I had a guy, a big client, this was years ago, and he was quite the character. He was from Phoenix, owned two or three islands in the Bay of the Islands up in Lake Huron. I'll show you pictures of that someday, Manny. You never saw anything like it. Jill was just like, what the hell? they had to take dirt out to the island to make a septic field. All your refrigerators, stoves, everything was barged out. I mean, pretty scary stuff. But out of house, beautiful. And this guy, he was, I'm going to say 70-ish, and he wanted to leave the country because he hated Bill Clinton, and he hated estate taxes. And estate taxes, I didn't know anything about them. I was young then. And evidently, what these bleeps do is, and the guy had a legitimate beef. I'll tell this quick story, Wayne, if you don't mind. The guy had a legitimate beef. When he moved to Arizona, his wife more than him, befriended this Indian Native American artist, and so they sponsored the guy and gave him dough and so forth. And over the years, it probably amassed 25 of his sculptures and paintings and stuff. Where they bought some, and he gave some to him for helping him out when he needed the dough and so forth. And this guy was going to be—I don't know if it ever happened. This guy was going to be huge. I mean, he was that good. So when you have an estate sale. They come in and they just, the bleeps of government just say, you and Jill might have a picture on the wall. Oh man, that's an original Madsen. That's $400,000. And you go, okay, but I paid like $1,000 for it. We don't care. It's $400,000. And if you go to an estate sale and you sell it for 20, they still want, 40% of the 400. The best story I ever heard, and he was convinced these guys were going to come in, and they're going to value all this stuff. And the trick is to have the cash money. You argue with them, and then you just write them a check, and they get the hell out of your life. Well, you're already dead, but your kids' lives. So the trick is to do that. And he didn't want any part of it. He wanted to sell his stuff, and he wanted out of here. He didn't want it to be paying to these guys. So he did. He ended up becoming a citizen of the Isle of Man with a residency in Bermuda. Man, how scary is that for, the U.S. people? But the best estate story, Wayne, I don't know if you remember this one, because I think it was in the Washington Post. Somebody had, at the time, was the American Eagle or Peregrine Falcon or something was an endangered species. I don't know if it is anymore. But some guy had a, what do you call it, taxidermy, that had stuffed one of these things by some amazingly, one of the best stuffers in the world, whatever the hell that is. And the thing was allegedly worth... whatever. And yet you couldn't trade it because it was on the endangered species list. So they told the guy that it was, that they thought the thing was worth like $500,000. And he's like, what are you talking about? I bought it at an estate sale. I mean, they wanted the doe, but he couldn't sell it. So even if it was worth it, he couldn't transfer it because it was an endangered species. Yet they wanted their money. It's government at its finest.
Well, you know, what made me laugh, you know, this Trump visit to France where he belittled the people in the cemetery, the World War One doughboys who were killed over there. But he was in the U.S. ambassador's residence in Paris and noticed some art on the wall, and he said that would look better in the White House. I'm not sure it's in the White House or in Mar-a-Lago, but he had it removed from the ambassador's residence and shipped back to Washington. But this artwork, it was all double. They were copies of famous art. And somebody pointed out, at least when Hitler stole his art, it was the originals.
I just got a, not that we should be promoting any of this on a family show, but I just got a thing from one of my old Pullman buddies about fake news. I don't know if you saw this. And it shows some, shall we say, very attractive and well-endowed bartender in Sturgis, where they said that nobody wore a mask, and she's got two masks interwoven as kind of a makeshift upper undergarment. So she's clearly wearing two masks. Anyway, so Wayne, what?
Well, when there was a mask shortage, I understand that's exactly how people were making some.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
Cutting them in half.
Yes. That's how scary. Wayne, what? When we, you know, cut away the wheat from the chaff on these stimulus numbers. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I calculated that these guys have, I won't say pissed away, invested somewhere between 3 and 4 years' tax receipts already this year. If you don't count the payroll taxes, because that just goes in and out as fast as it gets there. Now, if they start doing another $3 trillion, are they really planning on pushing us out 7 years in tax receipts as a debt here, and they think they're going to get it back? I mean, what is the real debate? Are people, I mean, obviously what we hear on TV is one guy mouthing against another guy, but are people in Congress really concerned about the volume of cash here that we're talking about, or does anybody even care in an election year?
Well, I'll tell you, here in Florida, of course, all the news is on it. Trump signing the moratorium on the payroll tax, you know, people here are on Social Security, and they know the payroll tax funds Social Security,
right?
And I believe that most of these Biden signs that are popping up are households where, you know, people, you know, you got either a widow, or usually it's a widow, a couple of widowers, or two retired, you know, husband and wife, are heavily dependent on Social Security.
Well, Wayne, it seems like since the first time when this thing all started, and we had people on, it wasn't just me, and Maddie, too, I think, was talking about, when you say we're going to do this because it's going to last 45 days, and then it lasts 75 days, then it lasts 105 days, I mean, everybody has got, even when the government put out their original stimulus, if, what was it, 6 months, Manny? 5 months they were giving out the $600, whatever it was, their whole intention was that at the end of that time, things would be, quote, normal again, and we'd start to go back up. And it's a temporary thing. And now, but obviously now, this is no longer temporary, and it's no longer close to being over. I mean, we're way past that. So Trump puts this thing out there, and when I first heard it, I thought he said, we're going to have a payroll tax hiatus, where we're going to forgive it for the people and we're going to defer it for the firms. It turns out it's deferred for anybody. So if you make the mistake again and say, give us another 3 months and we'll be okay with this COVID thing, and say, all right, you don't have to pay it between now and January, but start in January 1st, you got to pay double, essentially. I mean, haven't we learned by now that we better stop targeting days with this thing, because they just keep extending, and we're not getting anywhere.
And it's not going to get any better. Some countries are already experiencing the second wave. France, for example, is.
The second wave, that's fake news, Wayne. Because when they say the second wave, if you look at what we've looked at on the show a million times, guys have come. They're fortunately we have the embedded immunity. We have a bunch of people that have it. When you get those numbers pushing a certain number, the infections roll over in that area. All right, but if all of a sudden somebody walks into Sturgis and there hasn't been a case in Sturgis and I spread it around there, they're going to have the same bubble in Sturgis. But it's not a second wave, it's just another area. A second wave would be if all the people who had it all of a sudden get it again because it mutated, now you got a real problem. We haven't seen that.
There are people who are who have had it or getting reinfected.
There are people that have had it.
Second wave also has to do with the advent of the normal regular flu, which happens usually in the autumn.
But
which compounds?
But I'm going to push.
You're going to have a lot of people thinking they have one thing and it's the other.
I'm going to push back on what you just said. There have been people who had it that have gone and tested positive. Okay, because we have these tests that are, a lot of them have false positive, depending on which one you're using. But I don't know, again, I'm not, head of disease control. I don't know of one person, one story of any one person where a Matty Weber had it in April, spent the whole 10 to 14 days with the temperature and a whole bit, and is going through that same thing again. I don't think there's one incidence of that I've heard of. That people who have had it then have got it again the same way they had it before. Do you? I don't.
I can only go on the reports.
The people have tested positive, sure.
And people have died. People have died from the second go around with it. So,
but we've had the Bears here had 17 positive tests, and one day they tested them all in the afternoon. They were all, none of them were any good. The test.
Well, it's another issue. I mean, I was tested by the state of Florida, and my friend was, and they said this was by Quest Diagnostics. They said they lost all the results.
Well, one of my friends has a friend in Florida, where you are, and she gets in line, gives them a driver's license and a whole bit, and then they say it's a 55-minute wait, and she says, well, screw that. Pulls her car out of line, and a week later she gets a notice that she tested positive. So did you have to go wait in line in the car in a whole bit, or did you go to the hospital, or what did you do?
No, we had to make an appointment. We really didn't have to wait, although they did it. We sat in the car, and they did the throat swab, and they said, now, call. Here's a number you can call. It'll probably be about 10 days. Called it. And they had no information, and there was an announcement that they lost the results, not just for us, but for like hundreds of thousands of other people.
And then the
statistician who was working for the state, she was a whistleblower and said, "Hey, wait a minute, DeSantis and these guys, they're getting rid of the results just to make the state look better." And she was fired, and now she's doing this on her own and showing how the state continues to lie about it.
Why does anybody, I'm kind of a central clearinghouse for this stuff, but I've gotten two or three things from people that are supposedly high up the medical chain, whatever that means, but they agree on one thing. Any test we don't get the results in 4 days is useless. So who are we paying?
Certainly.
And who are we paying to test hundreds of thousands of people and lobby a test result 10 days later? How do you get that job? Right. How do Maddie and I get that job where we get to charge $100 a test or whatever it is?
First of all, you could get hired by the White House because apparently they're tested and they have the results back in 25 minutes, half an hour.
But what I'm saying is they've seen baseball gets to do that too. So does football. But my point is, why are we continuing to spend the money to give these people tests knowing that they're useless? What do you, in 10 days, let's put it this way, if you had symptoms, okay, and you went to get a test, and you were legit. You weren't just going there because somebody, you know, it was a thing to do. If you went there in 10 days, if you don't have symptoms anymore, are you hoping for a positive or a negative?
Well, there's something called the placebo effect.
Yeah.
I mean, did you hear Ivanka? She said, Ivanka Trump said, when they come out with the vaccines, she's going to get the injection on The View, on the TV show. Of course, you know, how can anyone tell that what she's getting is the actual vaccine or a B12 shot or something.
Remember they talk about something like that. Remember Benny Hill, how that thing was ever on TV, I have no idea. And they got all these people going in to get this vaccine in Britain, maybe. And all the guys are going in there, and all the older ladies come out, and they're all rubbing their arm, and all the good little girls are coming out and rubbing their butt. how they used to put that stuff on TV, I have no idea, but they did.
The Brits were able to do things that would have gotten people thrown in jail.
What is your read on, you don't hear anything about the Senate races. The House, is everybody just saying it's staying Democrat? What about the Senate?
Two Republicans are definitely not going to be in the next Senate, and that's, at least two. That's Martha McSally, who's, you know, filling out the term of John McCain in Arizona, and Tom Tillis, who is very far behind in North Carolina. Looks like Cory Gardner in Colorado is going to go down also. And Maine may finally say goodbye to the lady who's always concerned, Susan Collins. And the older she gets, you remember a show on TV called Dark Shadows?
Yeah, just vaguely.
A soap opera about vampires and stuff. And it took place in a place called Collinsport, Maine. And Barnabas Collins was like the senior vampire. But, you know, every time I look at Susan Collins, right? Same name.
Yeah.
She's starting to look more like Barnabas Collins, the vampire.
Is the lady who's the richest lady in Congress, is she running, or is this her year or no?
Which one would that
be? Well, she's the wife of the guy who runs the NASDAQ.
Kelly Loeffler from Georgia.
Yeah.
That's a special election. We won't know. In other words, there's two U.S. Senate elections in Georgia, but because that's a special election, that's not going to be held election day. That vote's going to be later, and then it's what they call jungle primary. If somebody tops 50%, then they're in the Senate. But if they don't, then it's going to go to the top two into a runoff. So the Democratic candidate is Reverend Warnock, who is actually the pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Sr. and Jr. used to preach. And so, you know, some people say, well, it's mixing politics and religion. I'm old enough to remember Father Drinan in the House of Representatives. He used to wear his, priest collar. He was a Catholic priest until the Pope said no more priests in politics, and he had to resign.
Really? Wow. It was probably a good move on the part of the Pope.
Yeah.
So you're thinking the Democrat, the Senate might slide?
Yeah, I think the Senate's going to go. I think the Democrats need a pickup of... it's 47 now, 47, 53. I think they need a pickup of, four or five seats. One will make it a tie if Harris is the VP. And then to give them a one seat advantage, I think they need a net gain of five. So they've already got, it looks like they got three already in the bag, Collins looks, she's in trouble in Maine. That would make it four. So, Joni Ernst losing in Iowa, which, you know, who knows? That's a very close race there.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much, bud. We'll have you back again soon to talk about this stuff. SP Futures up 15 now, and NASDAQ Futures up 30. It was up a little bit more earlier, but we're still positive. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jacks.
Ogrenny Jane. Yeah, it's the jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. I roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the writer sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover then.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.